Efficiency is key in today's fast-paced environment, but it's not just about getting things done faster. It's about doing so without sacrificing the well-being of our team members. A great work-life balance isn't just a perk. It's a necessity for sustained success. And project leaders must take a hard, critical look at how they've handled projects in the past and be willing to make the necessary changes, no matter how painful, to achieve incredible results. Let's explore how we can refine our project processes to not only meet our goals, but exceed them while keeping our teams happy and productive. I'm Wayne Robertson, and welcome to Ignoring the Rules, the podcast where we challenge the status quo and redefine how to get projects done. In this episode, I want to dive deep into the essential but often uncomfortable process of examining the rules that guide our project methodologies. The pandemic forced us all to revisit and rethink the way we approach our work, shining a spotlight on the inefficiencies and outdated practices that were holding us back. It's time to eliminate the rules that no longer serve us, modify those that need adjustment, and double down on what truly works. I want to meticulously scrub project plans to uncover what works, what doesn't, and how we can streamline every aspect to achieve maximum efficiency, outstanding results. But it's not just about the plan. It's about the people. How your project team is organized, treated, and led can make or break your success. And so in this episode, I want to focus on project leaders and exploring how they can implement changes that propel the teams to new heights of success. And whether you're managing a small team or overseeing a complex multi-layered project, this episode will provide you with actionable ideas to drive your project forward faster with greater quality and accuracy than you've had before, probably. Let's dive in and discover how ignoring the rules can lead to extraordinary success. How can we ignore the rules? Well, it started many years ago when I struggled to get technical projects completed on time and meeting the goals. After several years of working with team members and management, I slowly developed new methods of handling projects. It was a long process of trial and error, but eventually, some clear tactics became obvious. If you are working on any kind of project, you can benefit greatly from the ideas in this podcast. I spent almost 40 years working in technology and leading projects, and really enjoyed those many projects for large, medium, and small companies. Hey, picture this. You're at work sipping your coffee when suddenly your boss drops a bombshell project on your desk, and you look at the timeline, and you wonder if they're secretly auditioning you for a role in a comedy show, because, let's face it, that schedule is a joke. But fear not, because here on Ignoring the Rules, we're going to find ways to turn your project nightmares into success faster than you can say budget overrun. But now you might be wondering, what qualifies you to comment on this? Well, let me tell you, I have survived more project disasters than I care to admit. Even a few I caused. From missed deadlines to huge budget blowouts. I've seen a lot of it. But, you know, every scar tells a story. And if there's one thing I've learned, it's that laughter is the best medicine. Of course, followed closely by a well-executed project plan. So grab your hard hats, folks, because we're about to embark on a journey filled with sticky notes, status meetings, and more acronyms than you can shake a PERT chart at. Whether you're a seasoned project manager or just trying to figure out how to keep your inbox from exploding, this podcast is for you. Because when it comes to business project management, the only thing we take seriously is having a good laugh along the way. And I'm just trying very hard not to take myself too seriously at all times. The following story is fictional because I need to keep the actual experiences confidential. But it illustrates some key issues that arise in getting projects done. And this is the story of Jack, a project manager who was responsible for completing a highly complex technical project. At the outset, he followed all the conventional rules of project timelines and task allocations and strict adherence to company procedures. But despite his best efforts, the project began to crumble. Deadlines were consistently missed, tasks were delayed, and the team was becoming increasingly frustrated. Morale was low. And to make matters worse, some valuable team members decided to leave for other opportunities. Realizing something had to change, Jack took a step back to analyze the situation. He scrutinized every aspect of the project, the team dynamics, and the company's culture. And through this introspection, he came to a very critical conclusion. The rules he was so diligently following were actually hindering progress. Those rules were more about maintaining the status quo than about achieving success. He understood that he needed to shift his focus entirely away from the rigid rules and toward the well-being and efficiency of his team members. With a clear plan in mind, he started making significant changes. He identified which rules were merely habits and began ignoring them if they didn't directly contribute to the project's success. He emphasized the importance of work-life balance, encouraging his team members to ensure they had enough time for their personal lives and families. And this was a radical departure from the company's usual approach, which often placed project demands above everything else. The initial implementation, I'll tell you, of these changes was tumultuous. The team was uncertain, and there was pushback from those accustomed to the old ways. But Jack persisted, and soon the results were undeniable. Tasks were starting to get done faster, with higher quality, and the team members were noticeably happier. The atmosphere on the team transformed, and productivity soared. So word of this success began to spread throughout the company. Other employees, intrigued by the positive changes, started to request transfers to this project, eager to work under a manager who prioritized their well-being and made their work easier and more fulfilling. Ultimately, the project's success caught the attention of upper management. They were impressed not only by the results, but by the innovative approach that Jack had taken. By ignoring the rules that didn't serve the project's goals and focusing on the team's needs, he had turned a floundering project into a remarkable success story. You know, they say the customer's always right, but if you're in project management, it's more like the customer is always rewriting the requirements. And you know you're in trouble when your project plan has more revisions than a Hollywood script. No thanks. Now, one of the steps I took was when I flipped the normal organization pyramid on its head and putting the working team at the top and myself at the bottom. I've spent over 36 years working in technology on a wide variety of projects, and this was one of the major changes I end up making. By the way, a side note here, the hardest part was telling my parents what I did for a living. My father was a mechanic, a farmer. He was in World War II, a hands-on person who could not understand how I could make a living without using my hands. I didn't have a wrench or a hammer. I told them I had great team members, and I gave them overall goals and helped out when there were problems. And when they asked what I did each day, the best I could come up with was I held meetings, talked on the phone, wrote many emails, filled out documents. And my father was stumped. He said, I thought the team was professional and just knew what to do. And I had to explain that each team member has to be given information and goals as to what needs to be done. They don't just know them automatically. And it was very hard for him to understand. So, you know, the standard project leadership shows the management at the top of the team pyramid. However, when I pondered this, the most important people are those that are normally down at the bottom. Those are the people that are doing the hands-on work. By flipping the pyramid, the most important team members, the ones doing the work, are at the top. My job as a project leader was to support and take care of those team members and make sure they could get their work done. So, I want to mention that I don't have all the answers to project problems, and sometimes I wonder, did you have any at all? But I want to present a whole series of ideas for your consideration. And if I do nothing more than to get you thinking about how we get projects done, that will be fantastic. I've not been very good at following all the rules for projects. I remember the line, individualism is fine as long as we all do it together. Not for me. I was left standing out by myself. I did not follow. So in addition, over a number of years, and I got to say, a lot of help from team members, I've been able to develop a number of new methods of getting projects done on time and in budget without harming the team members with 19-hour days. And early on, I focused on several things that didn't work out too well. Taking myself too seriously. I'm not that important. Micromanagement, that was pretty tough. I did that a lot. Single focus on deadlines and not anything else. I had bad time management. I didn't value team members enough. And I was a total mess up on work-life balance. So there were a couple of good guiding principles that I wanted to follow on all of this. 99.99% of all employees want to do a good job. And the second guiding principle is people are the most important part of any project work. Many project leaders ask themselves what they were thinking of when they pursued this career, because projects are the cornerstone of business, and getting these done is so critical. Yet, this is also an area where humongous mind-busting problems can occur. And there are solutions. I'm going to give you ideas about changing methods of getting these projects done that, for some people, might seem revolutionary. And I know this is all a controversial topic, but have no fear. I'm happy to put my head down and charge into it. Regardless of your position in the project, whether it be at the working level, all the way up to chief executive, these ideas will apply. But I want to warn you that going through these examples will provide a new set of ideas that, at first blush, look crazy. All I ask, stay with me, and I promise it will make sense. Hey, before we dive into that, I want to start with a very interesting example. And I call it the Betty Crocker effect. In 1952, the newly developed cake mix was just add water. Women, and by the way, it was never men, added water and baked the cake. Presto! Just pouring the cake mix powder and water into a bowl, mix it, and then bake it magically resulted in a cake, but sales were moderately successful. The recipe was reformulated, and the woman making the cake needed to add one fresh egg, and sales soared. Curious? Well, upon further investigation, they found out the housewife felt that she had an investment and that she actually made the cake. And now when she said she made the cake, she felt she made an honest statement, no lie. Well, this issue is going to be a prominent part of this podcast. We need to involve each team member in the project and make sure they are not only contributing to the project, but they feel like they played a great role. Now, scoff if you will, but I proved it in past projects, and we'll discuss in depth in future sessions of how we can make this happen. And I implemented many different methods of getting projects done, and so I found out that there's a great need to make some changes, and you're going to have troubles. Guess what? Not all are going to work out well. And my methodology provided maximum freedom to each team member to get the work done while providing overall guidance on what needs to be done and supporting each team member daily. And I worked with a large number of very smart people. And they did heavy lifting in the work, and I was there to watch, to help, to assist wherever I could. And in the beginning, I was one of those horrible project leaders that caused so much grief to many. I came across this idea when I thought about who gets the work done. Because I realized when I was leading the teams, I didn't do any of the actual work. And therefore, that is why I flipped the organization chart. And you would not believe the grief I got for flipping that thing on its head. You would have thought I was asking project leaders to resign their position. Smart people that I highly respected fought me on this. But undaunted, I've gone ahead and been extremely happy with the results. But in the early days, I made many mistakes. And my goal here is not to just dwell on the mistakes, but I want to point out what can happen. The first one is procrastination. I'm the king of procrastination. I have to discipline myself to keep moving. Now, this type of project manager has never heard of the word punctual, sometimes not too bothered about it. When it comes to deliverables and schedules, these project managers always seem to miss the deadlines, and they push tasks further on for a later time. They fail to deliver on a routine basis and don't seem to attain the results they were required to reach. Another problem is micromanaging, because I felt no one did it the right way, and the right way just happened to be my way. Amazing. Well, this type of bad project manager doesn't mean ill, but tends to go the extra mile to look into the work performed by the project team members. This person looks through every piece of manageable task. Not a single detail is spared. And often this behavior can get project team members feeling a bit suffocated, as they aren't allowed their space for creative or hard work. These managers want to be updated every now and then about each and every development that takes place over the span of a workday. And while they can try these ideas on new project team members, most often than ever, breathing down the neck of an experienced team member's throat can lead to dissatisfaction among team members who actually perform heavy-duty work. So, a high-level view of the tasks for the day or the week should be enough for a project manager to plan and to perform the allocations of tasks. But for bad project managers, this is not enough. Too sunny. Hey, I developed a new word. Super optimist. Everything is going to work out great. And this type of project manager loves feeling high and wants everyone on the team to feel the same too. And I agree, optimism is a good thing. But overly optimistic forms a whole new story altogether. This is mostly the case with new project managers, as they only like to see the bright side of things and refrain from addressing the pressure points or the pain points of a project. This can lead to a lopsided project and disrupt the real picture that the project team needs to look at. And so as a project manager, they will need to look at the project in a very real sense and indulge in tough decision-making ventures. Sugarcoating is this bad project manager's forte, and not everything in life and business is a piece of cake. So if you're dealing with a bad project manager who has a perpetual smile and a hint of lunacy and believing that everything is perfect, then you're at the mercy of someone who is mad. The other side is everything is terrible, and my new word is super pessimist. That's strikingly opposite of the optimist. This type of bad project manager might not even see the glass there, much less half full. While a pessimist can give you and your team a reality check on the project's activities, they will only worry and emphasize about the tasks yet to be completed and the difficulties they might pose in the future. These project managers don't look at the teams and the project's past achievements and reward the team for that. There is no recognition or acknowledgement of any sort, and this routine work can be quite depressing and can push team members off track, even if they were doing a good job before. These pessimistic project managers will severely criticize the work that hasn't been done without paying attention to the excellent work that they do. Another problem is agreeing to everything, and that was at one point my Achilles heel. This type of project manager will allot you to multiple tasks in a day and overburden you immensely because they can't say no. This project manager is the yes machine of your team, and since the position is that of a leader, you can expect senior management cascading a lot of work down to you. And the main problem with this project manager is the fear of conflict. These individuals, they don't intentionally mean to cause a situation of work overload, but with the constant yes, they don't realize that they are sabotaging the project plan as well as the peace of mind of project team members. They simply are afraid of confronting and putting their foot down in front of external clients or senior and top management. You know, I was thinking the other day, but of course thinking is exhausting and I don't plan to do that too often. When I was a line worker in a project, the view was so much different when I became a project leader. The view from project leading is end to end. But as a worker on the project, I just cared about my activities. And, you know, looking back over my experience in life, I remember hearing from adults when I was a child. If you asked them how they were doing, they would say, middling, just middling. Well, life is too short to be just middling. And while there are always some bad times, there are so many good times in life. And so I am dedicated to helping people to be the most successful they could be in their work and life in general. And my parents were those wonderful salt-of-the-earth people that worked so hard. My father was a mechanic and a farmer. He worked so much harder than I ever will. And he was so concerned about me that I did not take to physical labor, put a hammer in my hands, and everybody and everything around is in danger. Turn me loose on fixing a car, and it may never run again. And I found farming to be a bore. But I did enjoy reading and learning new stuff, and this actually did happen. We had chopped the large tree into small pieces, then split those up into four smaller pieces with an axe to be burned in the stove, because we needed to keep the house warm in winter. I was reading a great book at the time, and was very intrigued, so I kept the book in one hand and carried one stick of wood at a time, and my father about had a stroke. At one time he was concerned and felt I would have a hard time earning a living, because for a man born in 1919, not being able to earn a living with your hands was a huge problem. My father knew I worked in technology, and he was not clear in what I did. If you didn't touch something, he didn't understand what was accomplished. You would ask me if I built computers? No. Do you fix them? No. Do you create software? Not anymore. I tried to explain that I work with smart people who did the work, and I help manage the projects. And after a long pause, he then asked, "Do you get paid for it?" I go, "Yes." "Well, okay," he said. "At least someone sees value in what you do, whatever it is." It was just too hard for him to understand. He didn't understand the role of management. And he asked why people just didn't know what to do, and why they needed someone to lay out the requirements, because he had never worked in a project environment, as all of his work was repeated every day, and everyone knew what to do. Over the years, I had the fantastic opportunity to work with a huge number of great people, both very senior experienced and new graduates. And I also let my fingernails grow longer so I could have something to chew on when everything went bad in a project, which was often, and that is normal in a project. If you want to have a job where everything goes smoothly without problems, I wouldn't recommend projects. I found projects to have extreme lows and extreme highs, and sometimes on the same day. But it brought a special thrill. My family wondered if I was okay. And I want to tell you that I was very successful in projects, and I was, eventually. But it took a long road to get there. It was horrible in the early days. But after long discussions with hundreds of team members over the years, I was finally able to come up with a few methods here that turned out to be successful. But I owe all of those people so much, as they gave me great feedback on how they felt about their work. And after endless questioning by me, I came to understand what they wanted and how they wanted to work. And that understanding helped me experiment on new methodologies of getting these projects done. Now, in the beginning, it was awful, and I was stumbling around. But after much experimentation and a lot of feedback from the team, there were a number of things that came obvious to all of us. Now, in addition to the team members, I was responsible to upper management. There I also stumbled around trying to find something to work. And after a number of bad days and meetings with upper management, there were some very kind executives who coached me on how to work with them. Fortunately, with the guidance of these executives, I focused on some methodologies that enabled me to work with them successfully. That does not mean it turned out perfectly. It just means the stumbling was less. And so over the years, I've documented those elements that worked and didn't work so I could track some good ideas. And I want to tell you that many of these things I did went against the common thought of the day on how to get projects done. Well, let me tell you this. When I was a child, my parents were exasperated with me as I constantly questioned everything. And sometimes they took it personally. I adored my parents, but I was so curious at how things were done and why certain decisions were made. I was very inquisitive and just loved to learn about life. And while I was a continuous problem growing up, this actually turned out to be a great thing in my career as I looked at every work step I did, trying to figure out how this could be done better or easier. Now, my parents were frustrated with me because they would ask, "Why can't you just get the work done rather than trying to figure out how to do it better?" And the stories I could tell you about my experiences in my teens trying to do things better is endless, both good and bad. I may do that in one of the episodes because it may help others in similar situations. But I want to tell you about team members, starting with engineers. They were the unsung heroes of projects. They were the ones that turn our wild dreams into concrete realities, often with a sprinkle of duct tape and a whole lot of caffeine. Picture this. You've got a project deadline looming like a dark cloud over your head, and the clock is ticking, the pressure is mounting, and your engineers are huddled around the computers like a pack of wild wizards trying to conjure up a solution. And just when you think they're on the brink of a breakthrough, someone accidentally unplugs the coffee machine and chaos ensues because coffee is so critical. Now, let's talk about project planning. You've got your timelines, your budgets, and your meticulously crafted blueprints. Everything seems to be going according to plan, until someone points out a tiny detail that threatens to derail everything. Cue the engineers armed with their trusty spreadsheets. And an arsenal of that's not in the spec excuses, but hey, who needs a plan when you've got a team of engineers who can MacGyver their way out of a situation? And let's not forget about the joys of testing and debugging. You've spent months working on a project, pouring your heart and soul into every line of code and every circuit board, but just when you think you've finally cracked the code and everything's working, you press the big red button and nothing. It's like watching a sad clown trying to juggle flaming torches. Entertaining, but ultimately a disaster waiting to happen. But hey, that's what the beta testing's for. And who needs sleep when you can spend all night chasing down the elusive bugs and pondering the meaning of life? And in the end, despite the sleepless nights and endless meetings and the occasional existential crisis, there is something magical about watching a project come together. It's like witnessing a masterpiece unfold before your very eyes. Now, I grant you a few more explosions and a lot less dramatic music, but here's to the engineers, the wizards of the modern age, the masters of chaos, and the true heroes of project completion. So I want you to join me on this journey as I take you through the joys and the tears of getting projects done. If you're a line worker, lower-level management, upper-level management, in a large company or small, this podcast is for you. I think you'll find great info, regardless of your role. I will warn you, I need to confess I'm very strange. If you're looking for a podcast that provides information in a well-laid-out manner without bizarre ideas, this is not for you. However, if you like ideas that at times seem to be out past Pluto, this is the one. Thanks for tuning into this episode where we discuss the many different methods of handling projects. And if you enjoyed this episode, please rate it and review us on the platform you're listening on. The reviews help us reach more people. Also, I look forward to getting your feedback as I learn from you on those comments. And please feel free to disagree with me, because that's how I learn. Be civil in your responses, and I will be a very interested listener. And please go to WayneRobertson.com for the latest new episodes and additional information about this new world of getting projects done. And you can find the different locations where you can conveniently listen to the podcast, subscribe to my mailing list, find free documents I've created, news and information about upcoming podcasts. I also welcome comments about subjects you would like to see in the future. I don't have all the answers, but I'm always happy to see your comments and information. We are all in this together, and the more we share information, the better we all will be. So let us know what you found that works in your projects, and I'd appreciate hearing from you. I'm Wayne Robertson. And it's been a pleasure being with you on Ignoring the Rules podcast. Hey, thanks for listening. And remember, it is all about people. So until next time, take care.